Nuketown Radioactive number 87 for Monday, March 6th, 2017. On this episode of Radioactive, Nuketown wakes up and doesn't see its shadow. I'll discuss the current state of things around Nuketown, take a look at my gaming life, and introduce Hank, our new puppy. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and I bet you never thought you'd hear those words again. I have to say, I was a little choked up listening to the intro music, and I was thinking about all of the previous episodes I recorded over the years. The last episode was on November 26, 2012, which is almost impossible for me to believe, but actually 4 years ago. And I gotta say, at the time, I didn't think that would be the last episode. But time plays tricks on us all, and here we are, 4 years later, and Nuketown is slowly waking up from stasis. So, who am I? Like I said, my name's Ken Newquist. I'm a married 45-year-old geek dad with two kids, Stargirl, who's 13, and Neutron Lad, who is 10. Not their real names, obviously, but good enough for the purposes of this podcast and the website. I'm the director of web development at a small college in eastern Pennsylvania. I'm also the Cubmaster for my son's Cub Scout pack. I coach his baseball team in the spring. I do some freelance writing for Nights at Dinner Table, which is a gaming magazine. And my family and I are raising a seeing eye puppy named Hank, but more on that later. So why am I back? It's a good question. It's a thing that I've been thinking about doing for quite some time, and occasionally my friends will go, when is the show coming back? Or why did the show end? And I gotta say, I didn't really have great answers for them other than to say that there wasn't a lot of time. And I guess there's even less time now, which is the crazy thing. But the key bit is you have to find the time for the things that you love. And Radioactive was definitely one of the things that I really enjoyed. And I gotta say, I missed it. I missed the show. I missed the community. I missed the people that I met and continue to meet. And just felt like maybe the time was right to come back to it. So what's going on around the old thermonuclear burg? Things are the same, but different. So when last we spoke back in Radioactive number 86, I had just redesigned Nuketown and gone from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7. This time I have just redesigned Nuketown and gone from Drupal 7 to WordPress, which is in many ways a far greater leap. WordPress is the de facto content management system at the college where I work, and honestly, it works better for the things I need, which are quick hit editing, streamlined podcasting, easy and prolific themes, and those are really big things. I've enjoyed Drupal. I got a lot of good miles and good times out of Drupal, but at the end of the day, I was spending too much time fighting with Drupal. And I don't have the time to fight with Drupal. I don't have the time to fight with any of my technology. I need it to just work. And WordPress comes closer to that definition than Drupal does. As for the site, it has been completely overhauled. Every post since about 2001 has been touched, sometimes for light editing, other times to update things with photos from the archives, sometimes to add links to the Internet Archive, since a lot of the websites from the early days of Nuketown are no longer working. The site has a new look. It's using the Poseidon theme for WordPress, which is pretty spiffy. It lets me use more photos. It's a responsive design, so it'll show up better on mobile devices. The entire site is now running under HTTPS, which is a good thing, which means all of our traffic is encrypted, which is very nice. I'm hoping that this conversion will stop the infinite spam monkeys trying to create accounts on Drupal, which is not a thing that normal people would have seen, but as the administrator of the site, I saw way too much of it. The site also allows me to have some new capabilities. I'm bringing back my Picture of the Day project. I'm also adding sections to highlight project work, just kind of stuff that I'm doing around the house, like maybe building a retro pie, model rocketry, painting miniatures. Basically, anything that's a little bit more media-focused is just a lot easier with WordPress. And even experimenting with the idea of maybe another podcast. We'll see how that all goes. These changes did not come without a price, though. A lot of the inbound links to Nuketown are going to break because the structure of the web addresses of the different pages is just different under WordPress than it was under Drupal. But on the plus side, the site itself is much more internally consistent. And going through all of these old posts, and I gotta be frank, I killed a lot of stuff because there were news posts and just kind of like quick hits from 2002 and 2003 to websites that just simply don't exist anymore. There's just no reason to keep all that content around. But anyway, in going through all of the old content, I found the wreckage of previous Nuketown migrations. Way back in the day, circa, I guess, 1998, I had written my own content management system for Nuketown, and it worked just fine, but eventually I got tired of maintaining it, so I migrated to Drupal. And I'll tell you, I've learned a hell of a lot about site migrations in the last 15 to 20 years, and I know how to do it wrong, and I did it wrong with Nuketown. Just remember, boys and girls, you always have to escape your special characters. So I found just the wreckage of these old redesigns kind of lying around, buried within the different pages. There are pages on Nuketown that probably hadn't worked, or at least were incomplete, for the last decade, maybe 15 years. So thankfully, I was able to go back into my own offline archives, and also to archives.org, which is where the Internet Archive lives, and recover a lot of that old content. The same is true of Radioactive itself. There were a number of older shows from the 10 era, Nuketown Radioactive number 10, Nuketown Radioactive number 11, where the files had actually been hosted at Mac.com, and when their web hosting went away, so did the files. And I didn't have local copies of them, or at least I couldn't find my local copies of them. Thankfully, though, I was able to snag them from the Internet Archive, and almost all of those old MP3s have been restored, which is pretty cool. So, you know, if you're inspired, you can go back and listen to everything all the way back to 2006. So where do we go from here? Well, I'd like to get to Radioactive number 100. It is an arbitrary number, I know, but it's been a number that I've had in the back of my head for a number of years, and it's a goal to shoot for. That said, you won't even hear this particular podcast unless I record Radioactive's 88 and 89, have them edited and in the can. I don't want to fall into the trap of getting excited about getting the podcast up and running again, and then finding that time is once again my enemy and I'm just not able to allocate the kind of time I need to do the podcast. So if I can't get out 3 shows in the next couple of weeks, I'm not going to record any of them. This will be a failed attempt. But if you're listening to this, then good news. That means you got 2 more shows that are coming up. After that, my goal is to do Radioactives twice a month, at the very least once a month. It's tough. I will say it's very, very tough in the spring because we have so much going on with our family. I think we are at what my wife and I have been calling peak kid. You know, when we were younger and our kids were younger, you're always busy and you're always tired, but it's different. You're not constantly going to different activities for the kids. And to be frank, we're actually running a lot of these activities too. It's not just that our kids play softball or play baseball or have these different after-school activities. It's that we're really involved in them. And in some cases, we're directing them. Both my wife and I are coaching. I'm the Cub Master of Luke's Cub Scout pack. And even though he's moving on to Boy Scouts, I'm going to keep doing that through August. You know, it's a lot of stuff. And when some of these activities come online, you know, baseball is easily 10, 15 hours a week of work, you know, between coming up with drills, maintaining the roster, communicating with parents, running practices, going to games. It's a lot of stuff. And it all competes against my own, I shouldn't say my own, it's all stuff that I really want to be doing, right? It's not my hobby per se. And it's not sitting down and recording in a mic. And it's those things are competing against one another. And there's only so much time in the day. But my hope for this spring and for the summer is to be able to get into the sort of routine where I can sit down, I can record the podcast, and just kind of geek out for a little bit with some of my good internet friends. So family life is good, busy, but good. What about my gaming life? It is pretty decent. I can't say that I'm playing nearly as many games as I used to, especially when people were paying me to do game reviews. But I am still managing to get in enough time to be able to kind of stay in touch with what's going on and to occasionally just kind of take my brain off the hook and enjoy blowing up a few things. So as far as role-playing games go, 4 years ago we were playing Pathfinder and running through the Second Darkness campaign. We have since then played Star Wars, we played Savage Worlds, we played Numenera. Gosh, and then the big thing happened. Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition came out. And this was really just tremendously huge for my group because when last we spoke, my friends wouldn't touch D&D with a 10-meter cattle prod. It was 4th Edition was not exactly popular with my group, or at least not popular with all members of my group. There was a contingent that really enjoyed it, and I gotta say, there were parts of the game that I personally liked, but it just kind of split our group right down the middle. And I didn't know that we would ever play D&D again. And then 5th Edition came along, and all of a sudden, our style of play was back in favor at WotC, and all of a sudden, there was this game that basically took all of the things that had even driven us crazy about 3rd edition D&D and Pathfinder and streamlined it all, got rid of a lot of that stuff. And it made the game faster, it made it easier to play. And these are all just huge things for us because we're in our 40s. We do not have the time for the sort of really crunchy, really detailed gameplay that we used to do when we were in our 20s and 30s. It's just not where our heads are at right now. Now, who knows? Maybe when all of our kids go to college, we'll come back around to wanting the most crunchy, most detailed RPG you could possibly have. But somehow I doubt that. So we are actually running two playtest D&D 5th edition campaigns. I say playtest with air quotes because they've been going on since the game launched. So that's probably 2 years at this point. The goal with them was basically to try out the rules, and we're still doing that. So one of the campaigns was kind of your conventional sandbox campaign set in the world of Greyhawk, and the other one was originally basically every session we level up sort of game. So the goal was to get to high level as quickly as possible so that we could see how the game played at 14th, 15th, 16th level. Now, life kind of stepped in and changed that up because the other DM who was running Heart of Darkness, which is the fast advancing playtest campaign, got married, had a kid, and suddenly his time got eaten up too. So we've ended up in a happy place with both campaigns where the progress in the Second Darkness, no, sorry, in the Heart of Darkness campaign has slowed down, where both campaigns are at somewhere between 8th and 9th level, which is a good place. We're having fun with it. We still run Savage Worlds from time to time. I wish I could play it a little bit more, but that's okay. I still have my lunchtime D&D game, which is a fun thing that I'll have to talk about more because I think I mentioned it in the last podcast 4 years ago. It had just started then, and miraculously, it's gone pretty well over the last couple of years. The biggest development on the gaming front, though, has been that we're actually playing with our kids now. So a number of us have kids in the 9 to 10-year-old range, and they expressed an interest in playing D&D. And we got them together over the summer, and we've now run 4 or 5 sessions with kids ages, I think, 7 to 11, and it's been going pretty good. It's hard, it's challenging, it can be difficult to keep their attention on the game for an extended period of time, but it has been very rewarding and very exciting to see these kids taking up this game that we've loved so much. Moving on from RPGs, my game consoles have evolved. Back in the day, I had an Xbox 3, sorry, an Xbox 360. It's been supplanted by an Xbox One. The 360 dinosaur is still downstairs, but it has a tendency to overheat and crash, so I don't really use it that much. My PlayStation 3 was doing great right up until it wasn't, and then it just died. It was fine, and then sometime in the middle, I guess mid-fall, around October, it just stopped working. I think the power supply must have died or some such. So that forced me to do an upgrade as well. So now I'm running on a PS4, which is a very powerful, very nice gaming platform. On Xbox One, I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4 and Gears of War. And then on PS4, I just finished Uncharted 4, and I'm looking forward to playing Mass Effect Andromeda later in March. Convention-wise, I haven't been to Gen Con since 2014, and I haven't been to Origins since, I think, 2009. But I do try and go to my local game conventions. In fact, I'll be going to one later this month, which is MEPACON Spring 2017 in Scranton, PA. It's our region's biannual convention, and it's always a good time. It's being held March 24th through the 26th. And I don't think I'm actually going to be running anything. I was really, really thinking about doing it. I had some Savage World stuff that I wanted to run, but I just don't think I'm going to have enough time to get the adventure together. And I've made a promise to myself that I will not propose any sessions that I have not already written. And I'm sticking to it. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was my family's latest endeavor, which is raising Hank, a male golden retriever, Labrador retriever mix for the Seeing Eye. The Seeing Eye is based out of Morristown, New Jersey, and raises and trains guide dogs for the blind and visually impaired. I got into it because my parents raised 3 Seeing Eye pups when I was a kid, and it was just a fantastic experience. I got to meet so many people, I got to learn these fantastic life lessons, and it was just, it was really cool to play with the puppies. So I knew that I was going to want to do this when I grew up. And I pitched the idea to my wife, and she was cool with it. We waited until we thought the kids were old enough, and we had raised our own dog from a puppy to about 4 years old. And we pitched the idea to the kids, and they said no. They didn't want to do it because they didn't want to give up the puppy. And it took us about a year or two to convince them that it's okay. You can still do a lot with the puppy and give them up. It's okay. And eventually they came around to our way of thinking. And I gotta say, we've been having a tremendous amount of fun with it ever since. So this is the way this works. You get the puppy when he's about 7 weeks old, and you have him for about a year. He goes back around 14 to 16 months. I say him, but we raise both male and female puppies. During that year, you train them in basic obedience and socialization. So there's certain commands that the Seeing Eye wants them to learn. They give you an instruction manual. It's actually fairly straightforward in that regard. And you get them out into different places. So I will take them to the farmer's market. I take the puppy to work with me. We've gone to the bowling alley, we've gone to baseball games. Basically, we've gone to as many different places as we can go to with the dogs to kind of get them used to the world, you know, get them used to the noises and the people and everything that's out there so they can be more successful when they go back and actually have to try and help someone. So after they spend their year with us, they go back again. It's probably around 14 to 16 months. They get a physical when they get to the Seeing Eye, and if they pass the physical, then they enter into the program, which takes about 4 months. They pass their training, then they get paired with a person, and then once they have their partner, there's another 3 weeks of really intensive training at the Seeing Eye where the dog and the person learn how to work together, which is just a really cool thing to see. Hank is our second puppy. Previously, we raised Olaf, who was a male German Shepherd, and it's night and day between the two of them. Olaf was a great dog, but he was very German Shepherd-y. He had to know where his people were. When he was on, he was on. He loved having a job and just being super focused. And he wanted to be out the door and just kind of in your face all the time. It's like he wanted to work, and damn it, now is the time to work. Hank's more laid back. Hank enjoys working. He really likes going to work with me. And he likes going out, and he gets excited to go out, but he's just not nearly as intense as Olaf was. He's a much more laid-back, much more relaxed dog. I'm glad we had Olaf first, because it got us a chance to kind of know what the hardest dog was going to be like. I shouldn't say hardest. He wasn't super bad. He was just a lot of energy and a lot of intensity. And Hank is less so. So I have to say, it's been a tremendous amount of work. It's been a tremendous amount of fun. Just like when I was a kid, we got to learn, meet a lot of people. And I think the thing that I'm enjoying as an adult this time around is seeing how it's helped my kids. When we are out and about with the dogs, my kids are always happy to talk with anyone about the puppies, about working with the puppies, telling people to back off and not pet the puppies if they're not supposed to do that at that particular point in their training. You know, it's been great for them to be able to have that opportunity to speak with people. And it's small groups, it's large groups. It's been a great confidence builder for them. And I think it's done everything that we had hoped it would do. Now, I have to say that the most common question they get asked, and the most common question my wife and I get asked, is how can you give them up? Because, I mean, they're so cute. And it's usually preceded or followed by, I could never do that. I could never give up my dog. And I think the key thing is, well, it's not your dog. You go into it knowing that you're going to have this dog for a year and you're going to do as much with it and give it as much love as possible. But at the end of the day, that dog has to go back. It has a job to do. And that makes all the difference. And it's not like someone's going to show up and take my family dog, whom we've had for 6 years. That's not his job. His job is hanging out on the sofa and going running with me in the morning. Hank's job is to go and help somebody someday. And, you know, when you know that, it makes it just a lot easier. And with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode of Nuketown Radioactive. It has been fantastic talking with everyone again, and I hope to be talking with you more in the near future. You can contact me by sending email to nuketown@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @NukeHavoc, and we've even got a Facebook page at NukeTownSF. There's links to all of this good stuff in the show notes. And one last thing, I could really use some new promos. In the 4 years since I last did this podcast, turns out that a lot of shows have actually kind of moved on and pod faded or just stopped podcasting, not unlike Nuketown. I need new promos, so if you have them, please email them to me at nuketown@gmail.com.